Over the last few weeks, we've seen some terrible stories of mass shootings, carjackings, people being shot for showing up at the wrong house or car. But there's another aspect of gun violence that rarely makes the headlines, and it's actually a majority of the deaths. We're talking about suicide, and we need to, because more than half of gun-related deaths in the U.S. are suicides.
People don't want to accept that this is happening all the time.
That's James Russell. His father took his own life with a gun when James was 15. He survived for 2 days and actually spoke to James one last time.
And I remember him saying two things. He said, "You don't understand." And then after a pause, he said, "It was an accident."
And the research says that's true. Most people who attempt suicide only contemplate it for about an hour. Catherine Barber, a senior researcher at the Harvard Injury Research Center, spoke to me about how people can protect their families.
Every U.S. study that I'm aware of that has examined the relationship has found that access to firearms is a risk factor for suicide. Why is that?
I know, it sounds crazy, right? Because it sounds like you're saying that having a gun around makes you more likely to be suicidal. And that's just absolutely not the case. Gun owners aren't more likely to be suicidal. But should they become suicidal, they are more likely to die because precisely what people value about guns makes them so dangerous in a suicide attempt.
Is there some kind of routine conversations you would like to see people have about this? Given that there are more guns in the United States than there are people, or is this just the kind of thing that really needs to be very local and very specific to wherever you happen to be?
Because we're so polarized in our country, we really need this message to be coming from gun owners, not them scolding government body or somebody who doesn't like guns where you think, oh, I can't trust them. Firearm instructors, gun shop owners, gun rights advocates, sportsmen clubs, all of these types of groups can be really important lifesavers by taking that same safety approach that they take to reducing unintentional firearm deaths, so that instead of 10 commandments of firearm safety, there's now an 11th, which is to be aware of suicide risk and friends and family and help keep guns from them until they've recovered.
But I have to say, look, only 7 states and the District of Columbia require individuals to go through safety training prior to purchasing guns. And the trend seems to be that states not even requiring permits to carry guns. So I guess what I'm just trying to figure out is how to promote gun safety when the intervention points seem to be getting less and less.
What I've seen really work is when, instead of setting it up as a fight, as a, oh, we should have this or that, why don't you support this or that? Like we did this in Utah, where we had mental health people and firearm advocates and public safety people all coming together to say, let's look at the data. And when the gun rights folks looked at the data, then they were very much on board with how do we get this education to people. And the legislature put $1 million into a public safety messaging campaign that was really promoting gun owners holding onto one another's guns when in distress, that was really promoting routine locked storage. Now, at the same time, they did stop requiring a permit. But when they made that move, then they said, okay, we need to put more resources into other ways to get this education to gun owners. And they followed through.
Catherine Barber is a senior researcher at the Harvard School of Public Health's Injury Research Center. Thanks so much for talking to us today.
Thank you.
If you or someone you know may be considering suicide, or if you're in crisis, call or text the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline.